Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Greetings and salutations, Earthlings. I have returned after being off planet for a couple of days. Yeah, it's good to get out of this galaxy once in a while and beam yourself away. I feel much better now. Much better. All right, today we're going to do a topic on planets. Planets, sort of like God's cosmic web or skeleton, that we're going to understand more how they intimately affect us, each individual planet, at birth particularly, the natal effect. So an excellent topic to record. Oh, by the way, I wanted to make a comment because I inadvertently had promoted a show on a television station here in Los Angeles. Big mistake. I have no idea why that station would call me and tell me I'd be on their show last Thursday, Cinco de Mayo, and have me promote it. Although I did warn my listeners because I did have an intuitive feeling it wouldn't work. And they edited me out. There was a show on earthquakes. Of course, I being the only person in California or anywhere to predict all the quakes in California, they had a copy of that. They actually, Eye on LA is the show on Channel 7, which I'm not going to watch anymore. And they came to my house and they took a total story on all the earthquake predictions that I had made and the fact I felt Nostradamus' prediction was bogus and it was a hoax. And they actually said on their show that no one had predicted the earthquakes, and they took a story from me. So what liars they could be, huh? But it's unfortunate that they would call me and say, well, you're going to be on May 5th, and here I promoted it to the show. So I'm sorry, because I have no control over bureaucratic editing or whatever goes on over there. But if they try to get a story from me again, they're going to have a problem. And I want you to know that I'm proud of the fact that I was able to predict some of these quakes for my show and my listeners. And that you hear it right here in the Astrology Hour. Unfortunately, too many people in the media don't know about us or don't believe it, and therefore they don't substantiate the fact that we are behind earthquakes in Southern California. And once again, there will not be a Nostradamus quake in May. At least I don't foresee it, and I've been right most of the time here, so I'm not worried about it. So please don't call me and ask me about the quake today. Okay, let's talk about planets. Well, if you have a problem with INLA, you can write to them direct if you were upset about that like I was. We're going to talk about the planets today because so many people have put emphasis on sun sign astrology. Once again, you know, it's funny how most people are divided into two basic categories. Those people that know their signs, they understand their sun signs, and they like to read their horoscopes in the paper. Whether they believe in them or not, they're still proud of being part of that solar family. Somehow people adhere to a solar tribe. Then you find some people that from day one, from the very beginning of their lives, even though they know their signs and they pretend not to, right? They will still be in a position where they don't believe in it. It's really kind of weird. It's like astrology to me is a vibration that is real. Even way before I understood astrology as a planetary science and got into charts and transits and all that, to me it was so obvious. It was like, well, this is something that people learn, and this is something that people know. And when you're very young, you find out what your sign is. So it seemed to be just realistic to understand that there was a vibration called astrology that was real. It makes you wonder where these skeptics come from, where people come from that are so totally against it. It makes you think they have absolutely no intuition at all, because those of us that are somewhat sensitive, that have a little bit better than average intuition, at least when we're children, we plug into the fact that astrology is real, that it does work. When you get older and more evolved, and when you gain more awareness, and you have what we call a spiritual rebirth, where spiritually you're more aware of what goes on in this universe, it seems like astrology becomes more real, you become more curious, and then it's like we graduate to a level where we can finally embrace our sun sign and let it go, and then look further into what is called the chart. Now, a lot of you that are listeners and members and supporters of the Astrology Hour are aware that you have crossed this line, that you'd left sun sign astrology behind at one point in your life and crossed over into getting your chart done. And usually it's by getting the astroscope, the natal chart that we offer, right? And then once you get that chart done and you have it, then not only are you given an affirmation, a confirmation, a validation that astrology works, but it's almost like someone has lifted some tremendous veil and this tremendous clarity seems to come around. And you start to become aware that, wow, astrology not only is real, but it's important. It's a very, very powerful, important vibration that affects each and every one of us in this dimension. Well, in today's show, what I want to talk about really is the effect of the planets, because from what I have figured out, life as we know it on Earth, humanoid life, carbon-based life, oxygen, atmosphere, water on this planet, the life as we know it really is designed by the fact that the Earth is 93 million miles away from the Sun, which just happens to be a zone of living conditions, a very, very narrow zone of living conditions, where we're either not frozen or fried, and where we happen to have the proper elements on this planet to create a carbon-based oxygen atmosphere where biological forms can grow and live. So I think there's a biological effect, number one, the fact that the Earth is 93 million miles from a star called Sol that is just proper size so that life can exist on this planet. And then because we are placed in the solar system the way we are placed, certain cosmic effects. Now I want you to know one thing. Not only do human beings have chakras, but the solar system, stars have chakras, and planets have chakras. As you know, energy centers and vortexes like in Sedona, Arizona, and Machu Picchu, and the Fertile Crescent here on Earth, there are Earth chakras that also exist on the planets. So, from what I have figured out, everything that lives on this planet, biologically speaking, in other words, which is enabled to grow, as far as a living being or a different species that it might be, is also affected from the cosmic effects. Number one, of where the Earth is located in this 9 planetary system, Mercury through Pluto. And number two, the fact of the unique vibrational cosmic quality that each planet bestows upon us according to where we are located in the solar system. Because see, the solar system, with the Earth system, the Sol system that we live in here is specifically a cosmic engine. I like to call it God's engine for life on Earth. And the planets, as they spin around the Sun, they spin like pistons. One good thing, one happy thing is that they don't break down or you don't pull a rod or anything for millions of years, so we're safe there. But the thing is that the planets are boomeranging around the Sun as they appear to try to fall closer to the Sun gravitationally. They reach a certain part in their fall where they go past the Sun and then they're kind of whipped back. The Sun's gravity kind of pulls that planet back and whips it around. So all these planets are like whipping around the Sun in this system. And scientists disagree. Some scientists will try to disprove astrology works, and they'll say that there's not enough physical gravity or physical energy from the planets where they're located to affect the baby at birth much more than the electricity, say, or the body heat that's in a birth room. But see, they're not into soul mechanics. They're not into metaphysics or cosmic effect, and they're not aware that planets have chakras and that planets, like people, are living entities. See, Pluto and Mercury and Venus, even though they're very, very hot and very, very cold planets, they don't need to breathe like human beings to be alive. See, this solar system is alive and breathing. I want you to picture something in your mind for a second. I want you to picture something that this solar system has a heart, which is the Sun, and that all of the planets that revolve in the system are like vital organs. This system is a breathing, beating system, and each organ plays a different role. So if you look at the solar system or if you look at the stars in the sky, next time you look at them, I want you to look at them and understand them and respect them as creatures with entity and life. See, we look at life and it has to be a carbon-based creature, right? A human being or a dog or a cat that is breathing and has eyes and nose and mouth and has senses and such. But you see, there's much larger forms of life because in order for God to create human life and life on Earth as we knew it, then he also created mega levels of life experience in this dimension, which are the stars, which are also grand creatures, huge creatures. It's not an accident that when you look at the solar system and you see the moon and the planets revolving around the sun, and from the Earth's point of view, that you are looking at a living, breathing, beating entity, a massive entity. This is part of the God force in this dimension. See? So, you know, I want you to take that point of view because when people are mistaken these things as what you would call inorganic or not living because they're not made of organic tissue. You know, they're made of maybe fire or they're made of water or nitrogen or helium or hydrogen, and it's not as carbon-based life as we understand. Like, the Sun doesn't have a nose and a mouth and doesn't smile at us, but still, it is on fire, and it is exploding, and it is an entity. It has a living vibration. So see, the importance of this system and understanding and respecting the power of the planets is how they live in this system is to understand that because the system is breathing and it is beating and all these planets are whipping around the Sun in their breathing rotations and such, that when an entity is formed on this planet Earth, when something is born on this planet and inhales a breath, then if you could grasp and embrace that moment, that reflection of exactly what this system, what this solar system was doing at that moment, then you would have an idea of the exact energy impulse that was going on, because there's microsecond impulses going on in this whole solar system, cosmic impulses from interrelated chakra activities of all the planets and the sun and the moon and the earth and all the moons, right, that are so incredible, so unbelievably powerful, that that is what we call the natal effect, the natal chart, the birth chart. That is why that some of these sun sign astrologers, instead of writing a column in the newspaper about sun sign astrology, I would like to write a column in a national newspaper that is an astrology lesson that actually teaches people about planetary astrology and this system as entity and why the planets are so obviously logically important. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about the individual and cosmic importance of each individual planet as how it affects perhaps a baby. And I would like to, you know, make an expose and finally reveal to the world the power of astrology. With all this astrology press in the media, you know what they do? They just grab any old astrologer and put them on Donahue or put them on AMLA or put them on wherever. I was happy to see Howard Sheldon on a show on Sunday. Finally, they had a decent astrologer on. They have so many unknown astrologers that come out of the woodwork, like on Nightline, where they could have, there's so many experts out there in ESAR and AFAN and different organizations like AFA that they could get that could really help people understand. This is an opportunity for us to reveal the power of astrology, but people don't know how to explain it that way. They don't know how to explain the solar system as entity. They don't know how to explain the fact that when a baby is born and it inhales its first breath, it embraces the immediate breath of the solar system at that moment. That's why knowing and understanding what your chart is and where your planets are part and parcel to understanding the vibration that lasts with you and charges your body and your mind for this entire life cycle. It's very powerful and it's very logical. So I find astrology exciting because I do look at all the stars as living creatures and all the planets as living creatures. I look at them as like giants. And I do feel like I am part of their structures. It's like the Earth and all the beings that live on the Earth are like cells that are part of this tremendous solar system and galaxy that we live in. See, the galaxy is also a creature. See, the galaxy has entity. See, that's how God works. Each thing is another cell to another mega process to another process to another process, and the sum total of all that equals God. See, that's why we are all one, because we are all part of one same web. We're just not aware of that. But anyway, the fun thing about astrology is once you climb the mountain and open your mind to accept sun sign astrology, and then you finally evolve to understand what I just talked about, planetary astrology, then you decide, well, I better find out where the planets were at birth. Huh, Farley? That's the next step, right? So very basically, find your birth certificate, because a miracle happened in the 20th century, and hospitals started recording birth times all over the world. It's like they knew the age of Aquarius were upon us. So about 97% of you know what time you were born as you recorded on your birth certificate. That's what we need. Your date of birth with the day and the year and the month, the time you were born, AM or PM, and the city you were born in. I love this topic. Every once in a while, I need to do a topic like this on basic astrological theory and help people understand how the system works. The fact that when we are born, something magical happens. See, this system is God's creation, and it's a very powerful system, it's a very creative system, and it's very interesting. I like to look at myself like I'm a God mechanic to try to weed through the energies of creation and death and life and evolution and all that stuff. That's what I kind of see myself more than just an astrologer or metaphysician. And I have found that astrology is so incredible and so incredibly powerful that people that are smart enough and evolved enough to take a further open-minded look at this will discover some uniqueness and some information that will help you understand your vibration much more than you thought possible. See, I'll give you an example. See, a planet like Mercury, even though it is so small, the chakra effect it has on biological creatures on Earth is very powerful because it affects our nervous systems, our mental systems, our brains, the way we think, all communication and media on this planet. See, that's Mercury's role in the solar system, in the chakra system of the solar system, offers the vibration of communication and the mind power. And without a planet Mercury, we just wouldn't be the intelligent creatures we thought we are. And same with Venus. You know, Venus is a planet that also offers a very powerful vibration. You got it. Love, beauty, values, and worth, self-worth, value. It kind of restores identity and substance to things on this planet. That's the role Venus plays. See, just like in a human body where the heart and the lungs and the kidneys and the spleen and the pancreas all play a role, the planets are like vital organs in this system, and they affect us as vital organs do. I believe that each and every cell and each and every human body is charged with the exact imprint of the solar system frozen in space the moment you take your first breath. And that's why the chart vibration is so powerful and so important. Now also, I want you to know that planets rule parts of the body too, so that's why there's no accident that they are like vital organs. Mercury is a planet that controls the arms and the chest and also the lower intestines. That's right. So looking at planet Mercury and analyzing it in the astrology chart will actually help you understand. That's right. The Mercury actually is connected to the spleen chakra. And also, it is connected to the heart chakra. And then Venus actually rules the kidneys and the throat. So the throat chakra is also affected by Venus. Okay? And people didn't know that. And that's the part of the body it rules. Now, Mars is a planet that rules your life force. Mars is a planet that actually gives us life. And believe it or not, the way it's placed in the solar system is a perfect balance to allow life to live on Earth. For some reason, like Mars being where it is, so close to Earth, sort of created an energy pattern that cut off a poisonous effect that would have prevented life on Earth from being here. So that's why Mars is our life force planet. It is the planet is like our battery. And the planet Mars also affects our sex drive, sexual values, just like Venus does. And the part of the body that Mars rules is the head. And both the crown chakra and the brow chakra are affected by the planet Mars. Isn't this great stuff? And also Jupiter. Now, Jupiter is a planet without which we wouldn't have our joviality, our philosophies, our happiness, our fun, our expansion, our freedom. This is what Jupiter rules. This is the role it plays on this planet. And it is also connected to the spleen chakra and the liver. That's the part of the body it rules, and the hips. That also part of the body. See, so it's all human in form. You can actually set the planets up to design a human form if you want to. And then Saturn, of course, the planet of karma, the Grim Reaper, the planet of life's lessons, of debts owed from past lives and this life that are incurred from abusing the dimension or your gift of life. Saturn affects the knees and the skin, and the skin encases the whole body. So actually, Saturn's effect embraces all the chakras of the body, in my opinion, that is. And then Uranus is another planet that embraces all the chakras in the body, because Uranus is a planet that rules circulation and life circulation, the veins and the arteries and such, and the ankles. And Uranus is a planet of awakening, of higher intelligence, of higher consciousness, of clarity, of humanity, of organizations and groups. And then Pluto, which rules the root chakra or the genital region, is the planet which is control of life and death on this Earth. That's right, because this is the farthest out planet. Typically, it embraces most of the system historically. Pluto is a planet which also embraces life and death, because Pluto is the first planet you encounter on coming to Earth before you are born. Pluto is the first planet you experience, which is life. And it's the last planet you experience upon death, when you leave your body and escape this dimension and this system. That's the life-death planet. And it also rules transformation, transition, and sex drive, too. Now, the sun, which is actually the soul of each person, that's why sun location in the chart is so important as far as soul identification. The sun is very important as far as your basic soul essence is concerned, or our God cell is concerned. And the moon, a sun also ruling your father, the moon ruling your mother and your emotions, your individual emotional factors. And then all of this stuff, the entire planetary influence enters from the eastern horizon, which we talked about last week, which is the rising sign. It is all that vibration is funneled from the east, because that's the way the earth is turning. The earth is turning towards the east. So the soul enters the baby from the eastern horizon in a light laser beam of effect, very sudden lightning bolt effect, and hence the rising sign, the personality, or the God part, the I am force, the uniqueness, your illusion of separation that you get from that personality or that rising sign. You know, that basically is what the designation of a natal chart is in astrology. Of course, you can add asteroids and maybe comet effects, and some people get into wanting to know where the moon is pointing, the north node and the south node and stuff, but knowing the basic planets, sun, moon, rising, and the eight planets besides the Earth, knowing your 11 factors is your astrology natal chart, and that's what understanding your own personal vibration is all about. And those people that take the time to look further and study and open their mind do find that it is true, that you really are what your planets bestow, and that's why astrology is an important edge in understanding the cosmic effect of life on Earth. Okay? That's our topic. Now we're ready to go back to the phones. Hey, Scott.
Okay, Farley, I got a question for you. Metaphysically speaking, if we choose our parents before entering this lifetime, how does that validate, like, the biological explanation for how people are born and how we have relatives?
Well, it's kind of complicated, Scott. What I believe is true is that it's not as important, in a way, whether we have actually had physical contact with particular beings in past lives, as much as what we do is embrace the karma that would be bestowed by a parent. See, because I believe all people are one, and because I believe that the more evolved you get in the spirit, you realize that, and then this stuff about soulmates and putting so much importance on this man being your father or your mother because you've been with them in past lives, and in truth, you've been with them eternally, more than just in past lives, right? So what I believe an entity tries to do is an entity will try to qualify for a specific birth situation with a specific chart. It's like a baby might try to incarnate in a particular vehicle of a woman, and that woman, of course, may have the choice in this day and age to abort or whatever, or maybe put the child up for adoption or, you know, abandon the child or whatever. But I do believe that whatever karma is necessary to be fulfilled to its highest good is a vehicle that is prepared for an individual entity.
Okay.
So I think that there is a biological effect, but it's like there are so many families out there that are similar. You know, like, let's say, take just Jewish culture or Catholic culture or black culture. There's a whole bunch of black culture people you could be born to where if one particular mother and father didn't conceive and you miss that window, you know, it's like trying to launch to the moon, right? You miss that window. Well, you go ahead over here to East LA and or maybe to Northern Minnesota or maybe to South St. Louis or maybe, you know, I'm just being, who knows, just to catch a particular Arab family. Depends what your national karma is, your religious karma is. Sometimes just catching the right race with the right religion in a similar city where you need, you'll automatically vibrate to the beings you must be confronted with. It's like some people are born to certain families where they feel alien to their parents and they kind of adopt another older man or another older woman to be their parents, and those are the ones they were probably really meant to be with.
Okay.
So one way or another, I believe an entity person does vibrate to the family situation they're supposed to be in. I believe it's destined. Good question, guy.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go now to Eric on line two. Hi, Eric.
How are you doing, Farley?
Good. Did you enjoy the topic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
I have one question for you here. Do you think that the comets like Halley's Comet and different comets have any effect at all on the solar system?
Well,
the astrology?
I do believe that anything in the system, it's like the whole universe affects itself because everything is connected to the same web.
Right.
It's like a human being is important because in retrospect, when we look at a human being, it might appear as a microscopic object in the universe, but because everything is one with the universe, on the one way, human may be microscopic, and on the other way, it might be macroscopic.
Right.
So it's like Halley's Comet, as part of the system, also has a micro and a macro effect too, which I am trying to understand.
Right.
One thing I do know is that I do believe that the comets help trigger certain ages. It's like when Halley's Comet came to Aquarius, one thing I noticed that did happen, because the age of Aquarius vibration is technology for humanity's sake,
right,
which means that we should take the money and spend it on resolving humanity's problems, diseases, housing, and all that stuff with technology. If we invest money in something like the space shuttle, billions of dollars, in something like the space shuttle, which our government might feel is good, when that money really could have went to resolve maybe world hunger or our national starvation or the homeless by building free condominiums or something for the homeless and schools, then I do believe that Halley's Comet did act as a trigger, because you will note that when I predicted some kind of technological disaster prior to the space shuttle disaster, that we had the Sun and Mercury and Venus and Mars and the Moon and Halley's Comet all together in Aquarius.
Right. Right.
So in that way, I did feel that Halley's Comet might have acted as some kind of cosmic trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Thank you much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Timmy on line three. Hi, Timmy.
Hi, Farley. How you doing?
Is it Timmy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Did you understand that topic?
Uh-huh.
It's pretty clear, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Definitely. I just wanted to know, we're talking about Reagan's astrology last week.
Yeah.
Have you noticed all the bad press about astrology since that?
That's because Uranus is the planet that rules astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And with Saturn sitting on top of Uranus, one of the times this happened, of course, was during World War II when Hitler was using astrology,
right,
and astrology got a lot of bad press then, too. This is a big testing time for astrology whenever Saturn is either conjunct or squaring it, and there are people out there that are so dogmatic and skeptical and stubborn that they like to wave their egos at trying to bombast or make astrology seem wrong.
Well, don't you think that's partly because of the entertainment astrology of the sun signs in the newspaper and things like that?
Oh, most definitely. I myself am guilty of doing a sun sign forecast on K-Rock, but at least when people call me, at least I use that as a teaser to get them over here to K-Fox
right.
to learn about astrology. It's like if most sun sign astrologers did that, I would be happier for them.
I guess so. It's kind of a double-edged sword, the entertainment, because it does get people interested, and then they can be enlightened and realize that
yeah,
it's more.
There's a place for it. It's like the kindergarten of astrology.
Right.
And, you know, there's many years that I read my horoscope before. You know, I looked at my chart years ago, and I didn't even understand it. It took me 3 more years to come back to it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So I do believe that people do reach certain levels of growth where they just can't handle it.
Uh-huh.
And then when they finally can, you know, maybe there's even hope for Ted Koppel one day. But I do feel that the Reagans do understand, believe, and respect astrology,
right.
but they're just afraid to admit it because
right.
they don't want to get a public bombast.
Right.
But see, the media will lash out because the vested interests control the media and all the networks. The networks make their choice in advance how they want certain things to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
So some bigwig way back there will say, find some joker and make astrology look bad because I want this to hurt Reagan or I want him to look bad. And so they'll find some Looney Tune, and, you know, well, these people in the media are not stupid. They know who Farley Malaris is. They've seen me on national TV and read about me in the papers, and I'm available, but my phone didn't ring.
Right. You know, I was going to say, you should try to get on a TV program and tell people how astrology really works.
Honey, that just doesn't work that way.
I
you know,
know,
it's like,
well, maybe
it's like if people want me, when the time is right, I will be sought out.
Right.
Until that time comes, I'm going to be right here on K-Fox doing the best I can.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Patricia on line 4. Hi.
Hi, Farley.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Well, I'm very good. I had to take Friday off. What can we do for you?
Well, you're talking about the planets today, and I do find the topic very interesting. Anyway, I was looking at my chart, and of course, you know, the thing that tells me all the different things about where my planets are and what houses, and I was trying to correlate that to the other information you've given me. And I've got Virgo on my descending, the planet Jupiter, pardon me, is 22 Virgo 7 retrograde, and then it's also in Virgo.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if that means that it's a stronger situation.
Oh, because it's in the sixth house, you mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Each planet is also married or is in control of a different sign where they live. And Jupiter actually doesn't live in Virgo, but the fact that it would be in Virgo in the sixth house is like a double whammy or a massive injection of the Virgo vibration in your life.
Okay.
It's like overdoing it sometimes. Okay?
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ron on line 8. Hi, Ron.
Yeah, hello, Farley. How are you doing?
Real good.
Good. I only tune into this station between 12 and 1 every day. A couple of months ago, I ran across you. I had a question, not concerning forecasts. This is the first time I've called, so if there's a little vibration in my voice, you'll understand.
There's a little vibration in my voice, too, all the time.
Okay.
Okay.
My question is simply this. Well, first, I'll say this before I ask my question. I am a Christian, but I'm in total support of astrology. But I found so many quacks over the years, I decided to just wait. And I ran across you, and as far as I'm concerned, from what I found, you are the best astrologer I have ever run across.
Thank you.
Okay. I've done a lot of study. I'm the physical science research director of the Basham Research Institute in Brea. And I studied from the physical aspects, which is what led me back into astrology as being a very accurate science. And my question is this. I was looking at my so-called chart. I'm supposed to have Sagittarius rising.
Mm-hmm.
But when I read the explanation, it sounds more like Scorpio.
Hmm.
I call my mother and I ask her. And I'm Scorpio with Sagittarius rising according to my birth chart. But I call my mother and I ask her if perhaps I was an early child. And she said, oh, yeah, your crown had broke through at birth, but the nurse pushed you back in. For the doctor.
Oh, no.
And then let you out again when the doctor came.
Huh.
And on top of that, I was given a name at birth by my grandmother, which was changed later on.
Hmm.
And my question is this. In that particular situation, would that account for a person trying to strive to find themselves throughout life and then finally coming to a conclusion that obviously to let themselves be what they really feel they should be?
Yeah, I think what goes on during the birth process that day, or how a baby is born, can almost literally dictate the vibration of how the whole life cycle will be. not only from the astrological effect,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that it's like you come into a door and then somebody slamming it in your face. For the nurse to take her hand and try to push you back in the womb, come on.
Yes.
That's the most unnatural thing I've ever heard of in my life.
She didn't want that. My mother said I wouldn't be born. I was supposed to be born hours before, but said I would not. She said the doctor said I literally refused to be born. And so they had me in a waiting hall, and that's when my mother said I decided to come.
Heavy, you might be the rare, rare incident of a person that needed to catch a certain astrological vibration and somehow missed.
Mm-hmm.
So your life might be lived off-center. In many ways, you're in the wrong vehicle. It's like you've picked up the wrong car. It's like things don't feel right.
It sure does.
Yeah, isn't that weird? I'm glad you called. Astrology is laced throughout the history and the roots of Judaism and Christianity. And I want you to know that people believe that I have studied with that not only astrology was taught to us by extraterrestrial sources, but also that Judaism was handed down to us from extraterrestrial sources.
Certainly, I believe that.
And that what happened in the Bible and throughout the history of religion is that astrology was covered up.
Oh, yeah.
Because dictatorships and sovereign countries did not want people to know about their oneness of God because they couldn't control them if that truth came out.
Now, I also have a PhD in theology.
Yeah.
I majored in ancient history, so yeah, I'm well aware of that.
Okay, Ron, I got to go, but thank you for that excellent question.
My pleasure.
Okay, and good luck with your karma, too.
Well, thanks again.
Okay, bye. God, he really went far for a guy that got pushed back in the womb, I'll tell you. Let's go on to our next caller now. On line number 5, we have Leanne. Hi, Leanne, how are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, Farley?
Real good, thank you for calling.
Good. My question is, what determines the vibrational difference in enhancing your life when you go through a name change?
Oh, that's a good question. A lot of people, if they remember, should probably chart the date and the time and the city of change of that name, not only for numerology reasons, but because you get another chart, and what we call an entity chart, that is a supplement to your natal.
Okay.
And a name change is a new beginning. It is a rebirth.
Right.
And any rebirth, whether it's physical, mental, or emotional or spiritual, should be charted if you remember the date, time, and city of the change.
Okay, so it's the same as going like when you were just born, the date, the time, the city, the whole thing. Why is it that they always ask you for not what your name is now, but your birth name?
Well, in numerology, what we're trying to figure out is soul's purpose. And the soul's purpose is like launched on the first identity that is reflected on the child.
And that never changes no matter what.
I've had my name changed a couple times in pronunciation, and whether I use Farley Malaris or Farley M. Malaris or Farley Martin Malaris, and there's a different vibration behind each one, but we have proven that the birth name printed out on the certificate seems to have the most powerful effect. Even if it says male child or female child, it seems to have the most effect as far as validity goes and confirmation. Because when I read my numerology, it blows my mind. I'll tell you something else. Some people will use the name which is most comfortable. They will insist, please use this name in numerology, and that will work too. That's the reason why they're comfortable with it.
Okay, the reason I ask that is particularly speaking for myself or any other woman who would get married.
I see. I got it.
And
yeah.
It's like, you know, I've always had this one name, and then you get married, and it takes on a whole new meaning. Sure, it takes on a whole new vibration.
Yeah.
And what does that mean in terms of...
Well, that's
life?
Why after you get married, the partners seem to be different because it's like they're new again. It's like, oh, yeah, who are you, buddy? I mean, we're supposed to make love tonight. Right. You know, for some reason, I'm not in the same mood I was as passionate yesterday, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, I think I understand that answer.
Boy, that was a superior question. Are you going to get married?
I just did.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Let's go over here now to Heidi. Hi, Heidi.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
What's your question?
I wanted to know... If I don't know if there's anything different in people when they're born, if there's a certain thing that happens in people who want to have more drive to, say, be like a leader or save the world or do something like that than the guy who doesn't really have that ambition or who wants to, like, run a shop or something like that. I'm just curious if there really is something different or if it's just something in everybody that some people express or that... You know, some people, maybe because of their upbringing or because of whatever, would suppress it more or...
I do feel that some of these leaders and famous people are destined to be such. I do believe that levels of karma to be experienced are different, and some people's karma stays within a realm of just family, neighborhood, environment, and career, and other people have a karma with the world. because that's the kind of experience they have manifested in past lives. Now, I do believe that some of the people that have that limited karma can experience what is called a breakthrough, where they can become a political leader or a world leader or someone responsible for the masses. But at the same time, Heidi, when you gain to that level of responsibility, you also are in a position to make a big mistake, like Reagan or Nixon, you know, who might be destined to come back over and over again as a president to try to somehow absolve that and make a peace with themselves and the masses for all the negative vibrations they have incurred.
Yeah.
So I do believe that there's two types of people that become famous, those that are destined and those that can have a breakthrough. And, you know, of course, the karma is a lot hotter at that level of mass consumption. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and I have to say goodbye now. And that is a topic on planetary cosmic consciousness. We'll see you real soon, weekdays on KFOX 93.5 FM at 12 noon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.